Welcome back to the Deep Dive, listeners. Today we're diving into something you don't often hear much about, but it's super important in the world of pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Formulation development.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, when you think of a groundbreaking new drug, everyone's excited about the discovery, the science behind it.
Right. But there's this whole other process that happens before a drug actually makes it to you, to the patient.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to unpack today, this whole idea of taking the raw ingredient, the API as it's called, and turning it into an actual medicine you can take.
So it's more than just mixing things in a beaker, I'm guessing.
Oh, way more. For this deep dive, we've pulled together a bunch of sources, like real depth dives. We got stuff on the regulations and guidelines, some hardcore chemistry papers, even studies looking at how drugs work in the body.
A real mix, then.
It is. And our mission today is to basically give you a crash course on the goals of formulation development and, maybe even more interesting, the common roadblocks that researchers hit along the way.
I'm already intrigued. So first things first, let's define what formulation development actually is.
Sure. So in the simplest terms, it's the process of turning a raw drug substance, the API, into a medicine that's both stable and effective. And I mean stable in the sense that it doesn't just fall apart on the shelf, and effective in that it can actually work in your body.
So there's an actual science to making a drug you can actually use.
Absolutely. It's not just about making a pill that's easy to swallow, though that's important too.
Okay, so walk me through this. What are the big non-negotiable goals when you're developing a new drug formulation?
All right, well, first and foremost, you got to think about stability. The final product has got to stay, like, chemically and physically stable over its entire shelf life.
Meaning it doesn't expire before you get to use it.
Exactly. Like, think about vitamins. Some of them are super sensitive to air and light, right?
I got a storm, right? Or they lose their potency.
It's the same idea with drugs. Lots of ingredients can break down or change if they're not protected properly. So formulation scientists have to be super meticulous about the purity of ingredients and how they interact.
Gotcha. So stability, that's a big one. What else?
Next up is efficacy. This basically means the formulation has got to allow the drug to reach its target in the body at a high enough concentration to actually work. This is where the concept of bioavailability comes in.
Bioavailability, that rings a bell, but refresh my memory.
Basically, it's the proportion of the drug that actually gets into your system and is available to do its job. You'd be surprised how many promising drugs fail, not because they don't work, but because their bioavailability is so low.
So the drug just, like, disappears before it can even do anything.
Kinda. It might get broken down too quickly or not absorbed properly, so it never reaches the target.
Wow, that's wild. And I know what you eat can affect how your body absorbs medicine, right?
Oh, absolutely. Food can have a massive impact on bioavailability. It can change how fast the drug moves through your digestive system, how well it dissolves, everything. It's a whole complex interaction.
So you gotta factor in a person's diet, too.
Pretty much. It's all connected. Okay, so we've covered stability, efficacy. Next up, and this is a no-brainer, safety.
Of course, you gotta make sure the drug isn't gonna harm the patient.
Exactly. The formulation needs to be safe and well-tolerated, especially for injectables.
Like drugs that are given through a shot.
Yep, those are called parenteral products. For those, it's super important that the drug doesn't clump up or precipitate at the injection site, especially for strong drugs like, say, chemotherapy drugs, which are cytotoxic to cells.
Yeah, that makes sense. You wouldn't want a clump of chemo drugs just sitting there.
Right. So scientists use some clever tricks to prevent that, like encapsulating the drug in tiny fat bubbles called liposomes, or suspending it in oil and water mixtures, which are called emulsions. There's this really cool early example of this, Intralipid, which was developed back in the 60s as an intravenous nutrient solution.
Intralipid?
Yeah, it was like a proof of concept for safely delivering stuff directly into the bloodstream using emulsions.
So safety is paramount. What's the last big goal?
This one's all about you, the patient-patient acceptability. It's about making sure the medicine is actually easy and convenient to take.
Because what good is a life-saving drug if you can't stomach it?
Exactly. So they're thinking about things like making tablets easy to swallow, liquids that taste all right, injections that don't hurt too much.
Makes sense. So we've got stability, efficacy, safety, and patient acceptability. That's a lot to juggle. And I imagine it doesn't always go smoothly. What are some of the common challenges that pop up?
Oh, there are tons. But one of the biggest ones is solubility. Lots of new drugs just don't like to dissolve in water, which, as we talked about with bioavailability, is a huge problem.
So, like trying to mix oil and water.
Kind of. Our sources talk about how a drug's lipophilicity, basically how much it loves fats versus water, can really affect its potency and how it behaves. And sometimes making a drug less fat-loving can actually improve it overall.
Huh, interesting. So how do they deal with poor solubility?
There are a few techniques. They can try to make the drug particles super tiny, or they might create what are called salt forms of the drug, which sometimes dissolve better. There's a whole section on this in The Process of New Drug Discovery and Development, if you want to dig deeper.
I have to check that out. So it's all about making the drug more friendly to the watery environment of our bodies.
Exactly. Another biggie is stability problems. As we mentioned before, APIs can break down over time due to things like oxidation reacting with oxygen, hydrolysis reacting with water, even light exposure.
That's why those instructions on medication bottles are so important, right? Store in a cool, dry place and all that.
Exactly. Those aren't just suggestions. It's all about maintaining stability. And the guidelines for this are outlined in Good Manufacturing Practice, or GMP handbooks, like the Certified Pharmaceutical GMP Professional Handbook.
Okay, GMP. Got it. What about when a patient is taking multiple medications? Can the formulation cause problems there?
Absolutely. Drug interactions, or DDIs, are a major concern. The way a drug is formulated can totally change how it interacts with other drugs you're taking.
Oh, that sounds potentially dangerous.
It can be. So there's this family of enzymes in your liver called cytochrome P450, often shortened to P450, that plays a big role in breaking down tons of medications. Imagine them like little workers in a factory. If two drugs need the same worker, they can end up competing.
So one drug might hog the worker and the other one gets left behind.
Exactly. One drug might build up to toxic levels, or the other might not work as well because it gets broken down too quickly. And there's this one particular P450 enzyme, CYP3A4, that's involved in metabolizing a huge number of drugs.
CYP3A4, got it. So interactions with that one are a big deal.
Huge. There's even been cases where drugs had to be pulled from the market because of serious interactions involving CYP3A4. But it's not just the P450 system. There are other enzyme systems like MAO and UGT that also need careful consideration.
So formulating a drug is like a delicate balancing act, making sure it doesn't mess with anything else a patient might be taking.
Absolutely. And another challenge is achieving the right release profile. Sometimes you need a drug to work right away, like for immediate pain relief. Other times you want a slow, sustained release over hours or even days.
Right, like those once-a-day allergy pills.
Exactly. So scientists have to design modified release drug products, like extended release capsules or patches, to control exactly how the drug is released.
So that's why some meds you take once a day, and others you gotta pop every few hours. All in the formulation. What else is tricky?
Oh, we gotta talk about elemental impurities. Even tiny, tiny amounts of certain metals or other elements can be harmful. So they have to use super sensitive techniques to make sure the final product is clean.
Wow, that's getting down to the nitty gritty. What kind of techniques are we talking about?
One of the big ones is called ICP-MS, which stands for inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry. It's super sensitive, but it also needs what's called low abundance sensitivity.
Say that again? Low abundance sensitivity.
Yeah. It's basically the ability to detect tiny amounts of something even when there's a ton of other stuff around. It's like finding a needle in a haystack.
Gotcha. So you're making sure there are no hidden nasties in the final product.
Exactly. Okay, now imagine you've got a formulation that works perfectly in the lab. You're ready to go big to produce millions of doses. That's where scale-up comes in, and it can throw you some curveballs.
Like, what works on a small scale might not translate to mass production.
Totally. Our sources actually give this cool example with the Suzuki-Miura reaction, which is used in making tons of drugs. In one case, when they scaled up, the Teflon lining of their giant reaction vessel started absorbing tiny amounts of the palladium catalyst at low concentrations.
Hold up. The container itself was causing problems.
Yep. And because there was so little catalyst to begin with, this tiny absorption was enough to mess up their yields. It just shows that even the materials you use in manufacturing can have a huge impact.
You really got to think of everything. What about drugs that come in special devices, like inhalers or insulin pens? Those got to be tricky to formulate, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with a drug-device combo, things get even more complex. In the U.S., for devices that are considered higher risk, you might need an investigational device exemption, or IDE, from the FDA before you can even start clinical trials.
IDE, huh? What's that about?
It's basically permission to test your new device in humans, and you usually also need approval from an institutional review board or IRB, which makes sure the study is ethical.
Got it. So more hoops to jump through when you're dealing with devices.
Yep. It adds another layer of complexity. We've covered a ton of ground today, from the basic goals of formulation to a whole slew of challenges. Can you give us a quick wrap-up of the key takeaways?
Absolutely. So listeners, formulation development is this essential but often hidden process of turning a promising drug molecule into a medicine that actually works and is safe for you to take.
Right. And the big goals are stability, efficacy, safety, and patient acceptability. But achieving all of that requires overcoming a ton of hurdles, from the properties of the drug itself to how it interacts with your body and how it can be manufactured on a large scale.
It's a whole lot more complicated than just mixing ingredients in a lab, that's for sure.
Definitely not. It's this constant process of problem solving and innovation to make sure that those groundbreaking discoveries actually make it to the patients who need them. And as we're seeing more and more complex drugs being developed, like those large protein-based drugs or nanomedicines.
It makes you wonder what the future holds for formulation science, right?
Totally. How are they going to adapt and develop new strategies to formulate these cutting-edge therapies and deliver them safely and effectively? It's a really exciting field to watch.
I think we'll have to do another deep dive on that sometime. But for now, that's a wrap on formulation development. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for joining us.